preparing you.
Turn from our sins, and we follow you, and we get to know you, and you offer us forgiveness, healing, eternal life. Lord, there's not a better deal in the world. Lord, we thank you for it. Oh, we ask you this morning to just touch everyone here in a powerful way, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. You lead us and guide us into all truth. We pray, God, that we will take heed to the warnings of your word, to the prophetic warnings that are all around us, to the signs that are all around us. And we pray that, Father, today in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome those of you here at Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those of you listening by Blog Talk Radio and Mixler or MixLR, I don't know which one it is you call it. And Facebook Live hopefully is working. A minute ago it said the connection was weak, even though we're on Wi-Fi, so I don't understand that. But anyway, we're going to move forward today. Got a few things to share with you this morning. First of all, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've entitled today's message, The Globalist Takedown of America. But before we get into that, let me lay a little bit of a foundation. There's something big in the news this week. Of course, the Brexit, or England leaving the European Union. Been talking about that for years. That is a clear and specific fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I'll share that, why that is, in a minute. We should have had a PowerPoint, part of an old PowerPoint I did a long time ago, but for some reason it is not on flash drives or computers at the moment, but we will find it. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and let me get there myself. Because God wants us to both understand and receive prophecy, both Bible prophecy and the gift of prophecy that should be operating in the church among believers and among the fivefold ministry. I want to read this, though, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He gives us a little list here, and I'm just going to start at verse 16. He says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the context here of the coming of Jesus, in fact, 1 Thessalonians 5, in the beginning, he talks about the second coming. Verse 3 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. But I wanted to focus in on quench not the spirit and despise not prophesying this morning. God does speak to us through his word two ways, through his word and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are large segments of the church world that believe that God only speaks to us now through his word. That is an error, and it's blocked many, many people over the years from having an intimate, personal relationship with God and learning to hear his voice. I believe, along with the Apostle Paul, he said, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may be comforted, that all may be edified, that all may be exhorted. I believe all of God's people can hear his voice, not just the written scriptures, but the Holy Spirit speaking inside of you and sometimes revealing things by visions and by dreams. Now, like I said, there's entire segments of the church that say God doesn't speak that way anymore, that when the Bible was finished, the canon of Scripture was finished, they say all of that, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gifts of healing, working of miracles, all of those things, they say that was done away with. There's no Scripture whatsoever to base that upon. That is a foolish assumption of men. It is a false teaching. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. John 10:27. Everybody remember that verse? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. The interesting thing about that is the word hear, my voice, the word hear is a present tense Greek verb. A present tense Greek verb means is a verb that has ongoing, continuous action that is taking place in the present. So what he's saying is, my sheep, and are we his sheep? Was there sheep back then? So he's talking about all of his sheep, past, present, and future. He said, all of my sheep will hear my voice continuously in an ongoing manner and in the present. They will hear my voice. It was to never to be done away with that we would not hear Jesus speak to us by his Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us, to give us understanding, to give us revelation, to give us discernment of the times and the seasons that we're living in, and to reveal the will of God to us. I've said this many, many, many times. There's nowhere in Scripture that says, Dean Odell, go to Opelika, Auburn, Alabama, go back to your hometown and start a church. That is not in Scripture. But yet I can tell you, I heard that from the Holy Spirit clearly when I was pastoring in Washington, D.C. in 2008. Okay? And that's just one example. I could give you many. God wants us to hear his voice, discern what he is saying, what he is revealing. And I want to show you something else. Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm not taking anything for granted this morning. Acts chapter 2. I know for some of you, this is elementary, but we have literally hundreds upon hundreds of people who will listen to this message. So I'm getting calls from all over the country. New believers. It's amazing what God is doing. All right. Acts chapter 2. Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that right there, when he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Tell me, theologians, tell me, denominational church world, how in the world you throw out the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit still speaking, when God said he would do it in the last days, all the way up to the time of blood and fire and pillars of smoke, all the way up to the time of the end. Now, this is important. Now, the word prophecy, I've shared this before. If you look up the word prophesy, it means to speak by inspiration of God. It means God supernaturally inspires something for you to say or to hear. He speaks to you supernaturally by his spirit in your spirit. I mean, even the people who deny this will admit that Romans 8 says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, right? I love how they pick and choose their scriptures, right? We don't want this one, but we'll take that one, right? But the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, the word prophesy means to speak by inspiration, to receive an inspired utterance from the Lord, but it also means to receive knowledge from God about the future, about things that haven't happened yet, okay? Now, listen, the Bible is full of prophecy. 300 plus prophecies in the Old Testament, hundreds, some thousands of years before Jesus was born, his ministry was crucified and resurrected. Hundreds of prophecies, hundreds, that foretold specifics, where he would be born, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that his ministry would be in Galilee, that that's where his ministry would start, out of Galilee. That he would heal the blind and the lame and the sick and the deaf. Isaiah 42 foretold that 750 BC. It was foretold 1000 BC by David. Psalm 22, my hands and my feet will be pierced. Psalm 16, he said, the Holy One would not see corruption. Not see corruption in the grave, meaning he would be resurrected to life. The Bible is unlike any other religious book that's ever been. Hundreds and hundreds. We could go down the list. Micah 5:2. Out of Bethlehem will come the Messiah, the Savior. Right? I mean, it's just amazing. The Bible is amazing. For instance, Muhammad can't point to any prophecies hundreds or thousands of years before his birth and his ministry as a prophet. He can't point to any writings that foretold the coming of the Quran or Islam, except for the Bible foretold Islam that it would be an evil force of death that would come upon the planet. That's all Muhammad could point to is a prophecy about him, right? And what Jesus said, of course, that there will come false prophets who will be antichrist, deny, right? Reject. So that's important. I wanted you to see that. Don't despise. Now, if you want to flip back to it, you can flip back to it. But 1 Thessalonians 5, when he says, despise not prophesying. Now, that means to take it lightly. To lightly esteem it, right? To make as if it's no big deal, right? Now, there's a reason I'm sharing this with you this morning because, again, we have to discern the times and the seasons we're living in. Like, for instance, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. And let's just look at that, Matthew chapter 16. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 16. Verse 1, Then the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him, that is desiring Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. He said, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Then he goes on down to say in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what was the leaven he was talking about? He was talking about a people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures to a point, but they could not discern and recognize that they were looking at the very Messiah that the scriptures talked about. They couldn't discern the Holy Spirit upon him. They couldn't discern that he was the one. And yet they knew the prophecies. Well, I'm telling you what, folks, right now I'm looking and listening. I'm finding a bunch of Christians who know a lot of scriptures, but they are not discerning the times in which we're living in. They're not recognizing what is happening around them. And when someone stands up and starts pointing out what the scriptures say, really are saying, and what is happening, and someone who has a prophetic revelation of discerning the times about it, I'm telling you, I'm finding so many Christians, it's like, I don't see it. I don't see it. Everything's fine. Our church doesn't do that. Our church doesn't believe that. There's a rude awakening coming. Because, see, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a warning. I catch it. I catch it, too. I catch it from a lot of people, even Christians. Some Christians, but you guys would be surprised. Some of you know some of them, and you think they're godly, spiritual people. And if I told you their names, you'd freak out. They know Scripture, but they're not discerning the time we're living in, right? Now, why do I bring this up? Well, you know, this week, right, England leaves the European Union, right? And literally, I have seen some Christians, big Christian websites out there. And I'm not saying Alex Jones is a Christian, but he's a big alternative media guy. I saw it on Steve Quayle and some other Christian sites. And they really are believing that England leaving the European Union is some big, huge blow to the globalist agenda. And that it's shaken up. I mean, Drudge Report said global order in shock or shaken. And I'm sitting there going, no. Nothing is going to change the path of the New World Order and the global government that's coming. Nothing's changing that. In fact, what happened with England is such a specific fulfillment of prophecy, it's frightening. And I put this on my Facebook page, and I had a lady come on there, sweet lady, Christian lady, and I pointed out who the players were. She goes, that's a bit of a stretch. That was her words, and I said, well, let me break it down for you. So I was going to show the old PowerPoint, a little bit of it this morning, to break it down for you, but I'll explain. I want you to go to Daniel 7. I want to explain the Brexit from a prophecy standpoint first. Daniel 7, that if you know who the players are, it shouldn't have caught you by surprise. In fact, before the vote, didn't I tell you? I told Nancy, before the vote, even though I knew it was going to be close, I said, they will leave. England will leave because we know who the beast nations are, right? Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. I wish I had the PowerPoint to show you this morning, but it's on our Antichrist Revealed video that's on YouTube. So you can go back and look at it later. Daniel chapter 7. Now he talks about these four beasts who will rise up. Now let's just read it. We'll break it down. Verse 1. In the year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the eagle's wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself upon one side and had three ribs in its mouth and between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Anybody ever seen a bird with four wings? We'll talk about that in a second. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. And after this I saw the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Remember all of this. This is very important. Behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, in the Ancient of Days God did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and the wheels of burning fire. And then, of course, this is talking about verse 13. He says, and I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. So that's the coming of Jesus right there. So he talks about these. Now, the misinterpretation within traditional Christianity over the years has been the lion was Babylon, the bear was Persia, the leopard with four heads was Greece, and then the fourth beast would be the end time world government. That was the only one they got correct. The reason I can tell you that that interpretation is incorrect is because of this particular verse right here. Verse 17 is key to this passage. He says, these great beasts, which are four kings or kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, if you say at this time, Babylon had already fallen, Babylon had come and gone, and Persia was in existence then, Persia was ruling, right? So you see the problem. He didn't say that these two of these have already been here, or are already here, and two will come. He said, no, these are four kingdoms that shall arise. So they didn't exist. So it's not Babylon, it's not Persia, it's not Greece, and I believe it's very clear that these beasts, he was revealing that they would be in existence at the end. Okay? Well, let's break it down. Let's back up, and he says, let's look at it. He says, first there was a lion that had eagle's wings, and I saw the eagle's wings plucked out of the lion. Right? What great country in these end times, at one time, just not too long ago, was known as the greatest empire on the face of the earth? The sun never set upon the British Empire. The symbol or the emblem of the British Empire has always been the lion. There's another country that rose up in these last days whose symbol is the eagle. Who would that be? The United States. The United States came out of what country? England. So the eagle's wings were plucked out of the lion. When did that happen? July 4th, 1776. Isn't it interesting that this is Daniel 7:4? I find that interesting. All right? So we know who the lion is. We know who the eagle is. The bear also is easy. That's everywhere. You can find it on the cover of Time magazine. You can find it on the cover of The Economist. You can find it on there in all over the place. But the bear is Russia. What's interesting, when it says here the bear, it said it raised itself up on one side, right? And then it said arise and devour much flesh. Well, Russia's been around a long time. But it wasn't until 1917 and the Bolshevik Revolution when the bear raised itself. It killed the side of the czars, and it raised itself up on the communist side, and it arose and devoured much flesh and killed tens of millions of their own people, Russians, and then spread the communist ideology across Russia, across Asia, into China. And we talk about hundreds of millions of people died at the hands of the Russian communist revolution. So it did arise and devour much flesh. So the bear is Russia. Now the leopard is a little more difficult. And again, I wish I had this to show you. But if the lion is England and the eagle's wings the United States of America, we came out of the lion, and the bear is Russia, he said there's another power that would rise up in that time, and it would be a strange beast. Now let's remember that you ever seen a lion with eagle's wings? Anybody ever seen a lion with eagle's wings? No. What is he showing us? That these two beasts, these two animals represented two nations, but they at one time were together, and then they were pulled apart, right? Well, this leopard is an interesting thing, because have you ever seen a leopard with four heads and two sets of wings on its back? No, what he's telling us is that this thing is weird, right? This thing is strange, all right? Well, it's very clear to me, and I'll get into this, that the leopard with four heads, heads represent leadership or authority, okay? Notice that the lion only had one head, right? But these four heads show four rises of authority. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe that the leopard represents a German-dominated or a German-led European Union. There's been three times, in fact, that's why Hitler was trying to unite Europe under Germany in World War II, and that's why he called his the Third Reich. And I'm going to tell you, he almost succeeded completely. But the others were under Germany. The fourth one is happening now, okay? But what happened in the 1957 with the Treaty of Rome and then with the European Common Market, you had two nations that pretty much drove this thing called the European Union. And the two nations that drove this was France and Germany. And Germany's animal symbol is a freak. It's a double-headed eagle, which is really a phoenix, which is really a symbol of Lucifer, okay? So you can find it. You can all this you can look up for yourself. So Germany, the double-headed eagle or phoenix, is a set of wings. And guess what? Everybody knows that France, how many of you know what France's animal is? The rooster, right? It blows my mind. But it is, all right? I mean, I think the only thing worse, I'm sorry, I love my Canadian friends, but a leaf? I heard a Canadian, listen, it was a Canadian comedian say, you know, don't mess with Canada, we'll just dry up and blow away. You know, it's just like, I was in Maryland, when I lived in Maryland, it's like the Maryland, University of Maryland Terrapins. And their motto was fear the turtle, right? And I thought that was the worst mascot I could ever hear of for a football team, right? Until the Delaware Blue Hens came to town. But yes, France is a rooster. So the two countries who led this joining of Europe together were two birds. Now, Germany, what's interesting is Germany, everybody knows Germans are smart people, especially in engineering and math and science and manufacturing. They can build a gun, they can build a car. They're good at what they do. They're smart people. And the Germans developed a tank system, basically a chassis. They built a tank, and they built the whole system can be a tank or it can be an armored personnel carrier. And basically how Germany rose up back again to be an economic power in Europe was selling their military equipment that they were building to all the other nations in Europe. Well, the platform of this tank and this armored personnel carrier that now that almost every nation in Europe has in their possession in their army is called the Leopard. Okay? So Europe is this leopard that has four heads, two sets of wings. And I found an Italian newspaper that calls Germany's dominance of Europe right now the Fourth Reich. All right? So what we see is, really what's amazing about this prophecy in Daniel 7 is that the time frame is exactly right. It starts out with a lion, right? We go back to the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, when England was at its peak. And then it was the 1700s that the eagle's wings were plucked out, right? And then you see, you move into the early 1900s, you see that's when Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution, and the bear raised itself up on one side and began to devour much flesh. And then you see later on, the European Union formed, 1957 on, 1993, the Lisbon Treaty. So you see that. But he says what's going to follow this European Union thing is the final beast, the dreadful one, the terrible one. All right. Now let's look at Revelation 13 real quick. I hope this makes sense to you, because you're going to see all these beasts again here in Revelation 13, except there's something unique about them. Instead of being all separate, they are all united into one beast. They still have their unique features, but they're united nations instead of separate nations. All right, Revelation 13, let's read it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Let's count the heads. Let's go back to Daniel and count the heads, right? The lion, the bear, the four leopards, right? And finally, the tenth one. I mean, the fourth beast. He only has one head, but he has ten horns. So you have the seven heads there. They're just kind of all separate. Notice that it's interesting. The eagles, it said eagle's wings. It didn't say anything about the eagle having a head. There's a reason for that. Because we won't be leading this thing when it all goes down. We won't have a headship. That's about to be taken away from us. That's why I'm talking about the globalist takedown of America right now. Because that's what's about to happen. Okay? Three of the beast, three of the ten kings that helped the beast come to power, three of them get crippled. America's one of them, but I'll get to that in a second. He said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now look at this. Look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, who is the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. What's interesting is Germany's head was wounded after World War II, but when the Berlin Wall came down, they said the deadly wound was healed, right? A lot of people take this that the Antichrist is going to receive a deadly wound and come back to life. It doesn't say that. It says one of the heads of this global government beast would be wounded. Now, The reason I knew that England would leave the European Union is because in this beast, this end time beast world government, it had the body of the leopard, but it had the mouth of the lion, meaning they were separate from one another, yet still involved in the same agenda. You didn't, if England, the lion, was part of the European Union, you see what I'm saying? There wouldn't be this individual part of the beast that was a lion and an individual part of the beast that was the EU. And I knew it was coming too because, you know, England never joined in with the euro fully. So, you know, if you don't join in with the money, then you're probably not going to go along with this thing. But what I'm saying is, even though that many in the world, and I mean, I saw it on Fox News and all these other places are talking about, oh my, the global elite took a blow and the people are voting for freedom. Yeah, the people are, but the people have no idea what's coming, about to come down upon their heads. Because this thing is rising up out of the sea and it will be given dominion over all of the earth. That is why it is unique. And he says that there's no other, it's diverse. This final beast that's coming, this beast world government, it says that it is dreadful exceedingly and diverse from all other beasts from before it. It's different. Why? It's going to be the only beast, the only entity to unite the entire world against God and against his church and Israel. Unlike anything we've ever seen. Jesus said, I talked about it the other day, when Jesus said in Matthew 24 that we are entering into a time of trouble worse than any time in history. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom what the church went through in the first century under Nero, under Roman persecution, the Colosseum? And yet Jesus said it will be worse in these last days. This is why I felt just pushed to share this. Don't for one second think that the globalists have lost control. When I talk about globalists, I'm talking about the elite. I'm talking about those who have sold out to Satan already, who are fully on board with the UN agenda. So let me break down the scenario. You guys know, for the last six years, I've been preaching this stuff. And God's been giving me dreams and visions and prophetic words concerning what is coming to America. I have seen nuclear detonation. I have heard the voice of God say, sarin gas. I have seen entire cities. I have seen it. Vision. I've seen the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States almost completely destroyed. I've seen it all, okay? I've shared it, that I've seen a mushroom cloud in America, right? Prophetic dreams and visions that I know are from the Lord. So in the last few days, I ordered this book. It finally got here. It took a couple of weeks. It's called Final Roman Emperor, the Islamic Antichrist, and the Vatican's Last Crusade. I'll show y'all. I'm just in chapter one. Now, this is from the same authors, Thomas Horn and Chris Putnam, who did Petrus Romanus, excellent book that I read back in late 2012, and Exo Vaticana, another excellent book. I don't agree with everything these guys say, but I'm going to tell you what. They're top-notch theologians and researchers, okay? And I do not doubt that they share in here. Thomas Horn had an experience. He's a former Assembly of God preacher who left pastoral ministry, and he pastored some big churches. He left pastoral ministry to really, because God directed him to get into researching what was going on in the world. He's written some great stuff. I mean, him and Chris Putnam is a true Holy Ghost theologian who believes in the supernatural. Okay, but he is a theologian. All right. And but they talk about what really struck me is that Thomas Horn shared that many years ago he died. And he was dead for about 45 minutes before he came back. And I won't go into all the details, but he said there were things the Lord showed him. And one of the things that he brought up in this book, and I'm going to read this, and these are the guys who predicted in 2011 that Pope Benedict would resign in April of 2012. They predicted it. What month and what year Pope Benedict would resign. And guess what? The time, April of 2012, came and went, and they thought, well, did we miss it? February 2013, Pope Benedict, it comes out, officially resigns, and Pope Francis is elected, and then it got exposed that Pope Benedict had rendered his resignation in April of 2012, but that they waited to make it official until 2013. This is something Thomas Horn says the Lord showed him in this prophetic encounter he had with the Lord when he died and came back. He said, prediction number one. And the reason I'm sharing this, because it confirms what the Lord has shown me over the last 4 or 5 years here. He said, sometime over the next 48 months, the Islamic State and or their associates are going to use a weapon of mass destruction. It will be of such scope and impact as to raise the international outcry sufficient for Rome to play its first card, which, as we noted in the previous pages, has been primed by subtle references to the just war theory in leading up to and predicted event. When this weapon of mass destruction, whether it be electromagnetic pulse, biological weapon, chemical weapon, dirty radiological bomb, or nuke that causes widespread damage, once it is used by ISIS, the Roman pontiff will call for a revitalization of the Christian rules for just war. Later on in the book, in the first chapter, the first chapter is 60-something pages, he says Chris Putnam shares that he had a dream a number of years ago. He said, I had a couple of memorable dreams about the beginning of the end. This man's a theologian, right? And he says, the first of these has occurred more than once and still disturbs me. Now, when a dream is repeated, remember what happened when Pharaoh had the dream and he said it happened twice? And when Joseph interpreted the dream, he said, the reason that this has happened twice is because the Lord is showing you that this is established and it will quickly come to pass. When you start having multiple dreams of the same thing that you know are from the Lord, you best be getting ready. It's coming. Okay? He says, the first of these has occurred more than once and still disturbs me. It's really a nightmare, actually, about a nuclear explosion within the United States. In the nighttime, he says, in the nightmare, there are massive casualties, and the country becomes a virtual police state as a result of this nuclear terrorism. I told my wife and a few friends about this back in 2012, which is when I had my dream of the nuclear explosion. That's why I knew I needed to share this morning. And he says that the second dream he had, and remains even more interesting, was a massive explosion that occurred in the Middle East. And he said it was enormous. And he said in the dream, he said it signified the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Now, I believe we are very close. I agree with these prophetic words and assessments from the Lord. I absolutely agree with this. So this morning, I didn't even see your post yesterday. You can go ahead and throw this up. This morning, our friends from Detroit send me this guy named Jeff Stern photographed, where was he? Virginia. UN armored vehicles moving on trucks across America. And he said in this post, I can't tell you how many of these went past me. Now, I want you guys to understand something. It is illegal for these to even be in our country. Do you understand that? This is a foreign political entity. Now, why would a bunch of them? Now, I've seen pictures. People have sent me pictures. People that I know have sent me pictures. UN people are on our military bases. They're on our ships right offshore, and they're here. And these are armored vehicles. Why does the UN need armored vehicles in America? Why? There is no reason. We have the best police, the best sheriffs, the best SWAT teams, the best National Guard, the best military on the face of the earth. Why do we need them? We don't need them. They are preparing, I'm telling you. Mark my words, believe it or not, but you will see it soon. They are moving these into position because the global elite, the Luciferians, the Satanists, the people who cannot let Donald Trump become president, they cannot do it. They will lose control. I don't care whether you like Donald Trump or not. God spoke to me about Donald Trump. James Dobson just said Donald Trump accepted the Lord, and he absolutely knows who led him to the Lord. And he got saved. Well, guess what? In January, God told me that he said, it is my will for Donald Trump to be president. He said, my hand is upon him. He said, and I will turn his heart toward me. Looks like all of it's happening. But the Lord told me, just because it is my will that he become president does not mean it will happen. Many things are God's will that don't happen because we don't agree and yield to it. And he said, if my people don't recognize it and pray for him and vote for him, it will not happen. And if you don't pray for him, they're going to kill him. There's already been two attempts that we know about and probably more coming. But I'm telling you, the Black Lives Matter, I shared this on our radio show the other night. The Black Lives Matter leader got his phone hacked by a professional, probably Israeli Mossad or a CIA agent that still loves America. Professionally SIM card hacked, baby, got it all. And then put it all over Facebook. And he said, the Black Lives Matter leader said that they were going to recruit people from all over, pay them $22 an hour to come to the Republican National Convention and the Democrat Convention next month to try to cause as much chaos as they possibly could so they can force martial law in America so that Obama can stay in office under a national emergency. And if Obama dares stay in office, it will erupt into a civil war in America. The military will split down. It will be absolute chaos. But I am saying this, and I believe this with all my heart from the Holy Spirit, that we are about to see a series of events across the United States. Government allowed terrorism and other things because they cannot let us vote. Donald Trump is the next president of the United States. They can't do it. They can't. Desperation has moved in. They're more worried about what's going on here in the United States, far more worried than England leaving the European Union, I assure you. And they want our guns so we cannot fight them. I'm going to tell you one thing right here. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I will fight them. I will become a soldier, and I will fight them. Evil. And they are here to bring us under their complete tyranny. And don't tell me they're peacekeepers. If the world calls someone a peacekeeper, they're a devil. You understand? I've seen what they've done in countries they've gone in and taken military control. They're not peacekeepers. That's why Jesus said, through the scriptures, through Daniel and others, he said, by peace they will destroy many. They'll claim to be peace, coming to keep the peace. No, they're coming to take over, to undermine and destroy the constitutional republic of the United States. And Obama and John Kerry have signed treaties with the UN, the 2030 agenda, the small arms treaty. They've signed all these treaties to bring us under the control of the United Nations. That is a fact. Gun control, gun confiscation, suspension of your constitutional rights. It's happening. There's missing nukes, folks. You think somebody just put one in a closet and forgot where it is? It's a serious. I mean, you think about how bad it would get if they shut the banks down for 3 or 4 days. You know, I told everybody, I said, I've been having a bad feeling about the fall of 2016. But now I'm wondering if it's not the summer and the fall. Right? What's interesting is this goes on. Even the Muslims are saying they expect the Mahdi to appear in 2016 and take control. Their Mahdi, our Antichrist. You couple that, folks, you couple this with everything else. Google, DARPA, the recent. Talk about brain chips. They're going to be able to plant the chips in your brain now. Not just in your hand. Well, isn't it interesting? The Bible always said the mark of the beast, the implant that will control all buying and selling, will be either implanted in your hand or in your forehead. In, not on. In. It's always said in. Right? I saw an article just a few days ago, Netanyahu, John Kerry discussing meeting again for the peace treaty and the dividing of the land of Israel. The UN is pushing that. That will, listen, all of these things, folks, I can't even put it into words. I've been preaching for 30 years. I've been studying this even before that. When I was a kid, I was fascinated by this subject. I have never seen anything like it. All of these things, the technology, the agendas, are all converging now. Israel, the peace treaty, the mark of the beast, the push for the cashless society and everyone to be chipped, the UN takeover of all these different countries. Listen, the Brexit, the England leaving the EU was just a little, just another little icing on the cake. It was just like, how more specific could you be? The lion and the leopard will be separate in the beast. And it's interesting in that beast in Revelation 13, there's no eagle's wings in it. Even though our country, the traitors within our country, like Obama, Clinton, the Bush family, the traitors, the globalist traitors in our country, and the Rockefellers who gave the UN the land in Manhattan to build their headquarters. Our country, the traitors within our country, have helped bring the beast to power. But they will, that beast will cripple us. Just like the Bible says, just like Daniel said, he said, when that beast comes to power and the man, the little horn, the ten horns and the little horn comes to power, it says he will pluck up or he will cripple three of them that helped him. I believe that's America, China, and Russia. Three that will be crippled to some degree. The globalist takedown of America may very well be for this summer. Without God's intervention, the Republican National Convention, the Democrat Convention, may very well be the beginning. You need to be aware. Are you ready? Are you ready spiritually, emotionally, physically? Have you made any preparations whatsoever? Do you have extra food, water, filtration, power? Are you ready? Are you armed? It is a Christian thing to protect your wife and children, folks. Jesus himself said in Luke, he told them, you know, people forget, Jesus told them after, he said, go get you a sword now. A sword was the best weapon of the day. We leave that one off, don't we? Look, as a Christian, I don't want to hurt anybody. I never want to shoot anybody. I never want to kill anybody. I never want to punch anybody. They come to hurt them too? You're going to see old Dean come back. But it'd be the same if I see him try to come hurt you. This is war, man. We're about to enter in war. And it's coming whether you want it to or not. Say, well, Pastor Dean, are you saying it's coming for sure this fall, this summer? I don't know. I'm just telling you what it looks like. Do I know from the Lord that it is coming? Oh, yes, it's coming. These people haven't prepared this for decades and decades and decades, and they're not going to do it. Could it be this summer and this fall? Yes, it could be. Could it be next year? Yes, it could be. But I'm telling you, and I've said this several times, I said between 2016 and 2019, things are going to get mighty sporty out there. So let me say this. It's time to pray. It's time to let go of sin. It's time to let go of idols. It's time to put Jesus first in everything. It's time to pray for your country, to pray for your brothers and sisters, to pray for your neighbors, to pray for the church. Because here's I'll end on a good note. One of the other things they said in here that they believe both of them received from the Lord about this, and I'm sharing their prophecy because you know what? People share the prophecies I give. If it's a prophecy from the Lord, we should share it with people. We shouldn't despise prophesying. That's why I'm sharing it today. I'm not lifting these guys up. I don't agree with them on some things. They're not right about everything. I'm not right about everything. I'm still learning. But hear what I'm saying. I'm sharing these things because we've got to get ready, because I do believe when these things begin, and I've said this for years, and then in this they said also what will follow the bombs going off, the nukes going off, the terrorist attacks going off, is that there will be a revival in the world. People are going to finally wake up out of the stupor and the spiritual blindness and the apathy and the indifference, even in America. People are finally going to be shaken to their knees. And they're going to be looking for people like me and you who know what the Bible says about the last days. They're going to want to know answers. What's going on? What's going to happen? What do I do? And the job of us Christians are to lead them to the truth of God's word, to lead them to Jesus, to lead them to repentance, to make sure they get born again, to make sure they get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and to make sure that they understand Bible prophecy and what's coming so they won't be deceived. And so they'll be better prepared to take care of their families and their neighbors. The globalists are about to move and take down America. How bad that is, how severe that is, how bad that goes for you will be determined by how much we pray, fast, and prepare. And how many people, listen, the more people we wake up to the truth, the better off we will be. I mean, do you want people living next door that you've led to Jesus Christ, or do you want people living next door who take the mark of the beast? Do you want people living next door to you that you can share with your garden with, or people who are going to steal from your garden? Loving your neighbor. That's what I'm telling you. It is important that we step out of our fear, worried about what people think. And God will honor it, folks. When you get bold, when you share the truth, when you're willing to speak the truth, when you're willing to step up to the plate and lose friends or lose family members or lose a job or lose money or whatever, because you're willing to stand up for the truth and to speak it, I will tell you, you might lose something in this world, but God's favor and anointing and power comes upon you. Amen? I tell you what, the greatest freedom in the world is being free from worrying about what people think about you. Because listen, somebody out there is always going to be a hater. Somebody out there is always going to think you're a fool and crazy. Somebody's always going to disagree with you. Somebody's always going to fight against you. Somebody's always going to lie about you. We're all going to have our Judases. That's just the way it is. So get over it and be a light for Jesus in the darkest time of human history. Amen? I could keep preaching, but I'm going to quit. All right? Fired up this morning. I feel the Lord all over this. And for those of you watching, if you want to go read, just go to the website, dnodal.org. Go to the latest word button and all the articles and words and dreams and vision that I've shared over the last few years. It's all there. I think probably one of the most viewed articles was Dreams. What was it? Dream of impending nuclear attack. I mean, I think at one time we had like, what was it, 200,000 people in like 4 days? And God is preparing people. They could, you know, I think a lot of people read it and go, oh, this is another crazy prophet of doom. They'll think that about you until it happens. I remember when 9/11 happened, boy, church was full the next Sunday morning. I'm not joking. Went from sparse to no chairs, no available seating. And that was just 9/11. Didn't last long, though, about 3 months. Got back to the normal crowd. That's Americans for you. Run to God, and they're a little afraid. But this time, the fear is not going to go away. Jesus said that there was going to be such fear and things coming that men's hearts would fail them. So you'll either find Jesus to be the strength of your heart, or your heart will be overwhelmed by what is coming. And we're not getting raptured out of here. Sorry. That is not biblical. We are here until the end. There's not a third coming of Jesus, there's a second coming. Amen? In fact, I think I'm going to, God willing, if God allows me, next week, I'm going to do part 5, I believe. about the throne of God and the heavens, what it means when it talks about the heavens departing as a scroll, what's going to happen. All right? All right, let's pray. Let's stand, in fact. And you know what? Before we pray and dismiss, what was that song about? Even So Come? Is that it? Let's do that song before we leave this morning, and then we'll be dismissed. Even So Come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And bring them home. There are many that are lost. There are many that are denying me, but I am coming. I am coming soon. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for the harvest.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Father, we praise you. We receive that word this morning right there to prepare. Prepare ourselves to be a light and a witness for you, to be bold, unafraid, unashamed of the truth of Scripture, whatever truth it may be in your word that a person needs. Lord, you said that we were to be ready to give an answer to every man, the reason of the hope that is in us. People need different questions answered. They need different truth from Scripture. Give us wisdom to win souls, Lord. Help us as a church prepare for the harvest, for revival. Help us to be what we say we are. Help us to live your word. Forgive us of our sins, our doubts. Forgive us and wash us, Jesus. Cleanse us. Truly help us prepare for what is coming and to be a light in the darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to say we welcome you and we appreciate those of you that have been with us through Facebook Live and Blog Talk and MixLR or Mixler, whatever it is. Got to figure that one out. Share this video with friends and family and neighbors and people. Share it. People will get saved. Amen. All right. Those of you here, you know the rule. Hug some necks before you leave. All right.